couldn't help but think as they were singing of trials that they both are going through and have gone through, and what they just sang is so true, and it is true. And it don't look at a song as just, oh, well, that's nice. No, it's true. The songs that we sing are true, and that was, and those two especially, as I think of their lives and things that have happened and trials. Boy, you don't have to stay discouraged. Just take it to Jesus. That was good. Thank you. Well, the question is asked here in the book of Daniel, a familiar question, and the question in verse 6, how long till the end? How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I want to talk to you about how long till the end. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts, you'll give us exactly what we need today. Thank you for the music, and Lord, for the preparation you've done in our lives to receive the word now, and help us to listen, speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How long till the end? Go back to Psalms 94. Keep your place in Daniel, the book of Psalms 94. And the psalmist asks a very familiar or very, very similar type of a question. Psalm 94 and verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth... Wait a minute, that's not what I'm looking for. Well, it's good. But let's see. Shall I? I'm not sure what I did. I wrote down something wrong there. Go to Luke 21. The psalmist does ask the same question somewhere, but I don't know where. Anyway, Luke 21 and verse 7. It's funny when you're going along and you're reading and you just know that's not what you're looking for. Luke 21 and verse 7. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And again, the question is asked, what shall these things be? What sign will there be? In other words, how long till the end? The dead in Revelation 6, go to Revelation 6, and we see again a curious group of folks, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, and they're asking pretty much the same question, Revelation 6 and verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And again, the question is, how long? Again, how long till the end? And so back in Daniel, and we've seen already, that people are wanting to know, how long till the end? When's it all going to be over? And in in verse 6, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? It's very interesting. One of the angels gives an answer of 3.5 years, but that's not really answering their question. And because the 3.5 years is going to be the end of the tribulation, they want to know how long from now. They want to know how much longer do I have to wait? They want to. I don't want to know from in the tribulation how many days, and the angels give several answers like that, and we have those numbers in the scripture. They're saying, I want to know how long I've got, how long till the end. I want to know how long it's going to be for me. I want to know. You know, I don't want to know what's going to happen here and there, and those are all good things. But they say, I want to know how long till the end. How long from now? How long for me? Daniel asks a similar kind of a question then after the answer is given, because he knows, again, he's wondering himself. And so he says this, He says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? How long is it going to be? What's going to happen? How will we know? Go keep your place in Daniel, Matthew 24, verse 36. I talked about this a little bit in the Sunday school class because everything's kind of tying together as it does when I get in vacation Bible school mode. The king is coming. I've been thinking a lot about that. And then my Sunday school class, we're in 1 Peter talking about trials, and just automatically it gets into prophecy and gets into the end times. Matthew 24, verse 36, the Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." All right, there's your answer. How long till the end? Well, nobody knows. Just the Father. Well, but I want to calculate everything out. Well, there's things you can calculate out. We know the tribulation, at least what we're calling the tribulation, is 7 years long. We know that. We know how long the millennium is. We know that. We know some periods within that tribulation, the first 3.5 years, second 3.5 years. We know some of those things. We've got numbers. We've got we know about the 70 weeks prophecy, and we're just waiting on that last week. I mean, we know those kind of things. We've kind of figured that out, though even within that there's a little bit of speculation. But what we really want to know, God, we want to know, okay, when? Yeah, when is the end? How long till the end? And our answer, of course, given by the Lord. And by the way, Daniel is as perplexed as we are. Okay, is this it? Daniel is saying. Is this the end? Well, now, years and years later, over 2,000 years later, by far, obviously, it isn't the end. It isn't the end. Daniel, is this the end? How long then? Okay, if this isn't it, how long till the end? And we want to know the same thing. God makes it very, very clear. No man knows. You know, the people that bought the book years ago, you know, I think it was 79 reasons why Jesus must come in 79. You ought to get your money back. You really should. Because you never should have bought it in the first place, because the Bible says no man knows. You're not going to predict a date. You're not going to predict an hour. You're not going to nail. Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be. I've already started hearing it. You know, 2011, 2012. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I know the planets were going to line up in 1980s. I can still hear the evangelists saying that when the planets line up, that's going to be the end. And you know, all those kind of things. The fact of the matter is, God makes it very, very clear in His Word. The Father knows. I mean, He has a calendar, and it's on the calendar. You and I don't have access to the calendar. Okay, it's on His computer calendar, but we don't have the password to get in. We don't know. The angels don't know. The angels are wondering about it here in Daniel. They're saying, they're the first one. You know, well, how long shall be the end of these wonders? And the answer was given from the middle of the tribulation to the end. It'll be 3.5. That isn't what I'm looking for. I want to know, when's it all going to end? God just clearly says, I'm not telling you. And the word that we use, and we talked about this in Sunday school, is the word imminence. It's imminent. It can happen any time. Isn't that something? But God in the book of Daniel does give us a little clue of what's going to be going on. And so Daniel asks the question, what shall be the end of the... In other words, well, how can we know? And in a sense, he might be even saying, give us some things to be looking for if this is the end. Give us some idea. You know, if you can't tell us how long it's going to be, if we can't nail it down to that day, give us some idea. And certainly, Matthew 24 talks about things, the book of Revelation, give some ideas about this. But I call your attention this morning to verse 10 and throughout that, verses 10 through 13 and a few other verses. And we get an idea of what's going to be going on. Now, I get excited about these things. Now, we can go to Matthew 24, and we may in the next few weeks, and just talk about some things. There are things happening today that God said would happen. There are things happening that God said would be going on when it's the end. Okay? There are some things. Daniel says, well, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go that way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, all right, Daniel, I we're not going to tell you. But then he gives him some things that are going on. He says in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand. The wise shall understand. And then he goes and he gives some more days and some numbers and some times. But again, there's a little clue here of what's going to be going on when that time is approaching. Now again, we can't predict any days. We can't give any dates. We wouldn't, if we tried, we'd be going against the Word of God. But there's some exciting things we can see happening that he said would happen. The first thing I see, and really what ought to be the encouragement for every believer, and that is the first thing going on, conversions. Conversions. In verse 10 it says, many, many, many is not few, many is many. Many's a lot, amen? Many shall be purified and made white. People will be converted. People will be getting saved. There will be conversions. There will be folks, lots of people getting saved. Now again, we look at our day and we say, you know, are people still getting saved? Well, of course people are still getting saved. Of course folks are still getting saved. Again, look at the words here. They'll be made, or they're going to be, many shall be purified. They shall be that. They're being converted. Many shall be made white. That's salvation. That's being made white as snow. That's Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, say the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's conversion. There's going to be people getting saved when that time comes. The Bible says He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's conversion. That's people getting saved. And He said all the way till the end, folks are going to be getting saved. I hear people all that, well, you know, it's just not the same anymore. It's not the same, but the truth of the matter is many, many, many are going to be getting saved when that time comes. Many are going to be getting saved. Do you understand that just about every week somebody gets saved as a result of Berean Baptist Church? I would almost say, and I don't have the numbers, so I'm not going to say every week, but I would have to think it's almost every week. Somebody's getting saved. People are getting saved. Whether it's our shepherd's ministry, our prison ministry, our soul-winning ministry, our bus ministry, Vacation Bible School, we'll see many young people saved. Whether it's our teen ministry, teen soul-winning, people are getting saved. I'm not talking about people becoming religious. I'm not talking, hey, listen to me, you can be religious and go to hell. I'm talking about people who are calling on Jesus. They are being purified, they are being made white. Only God can do that. Man cannot do it. I'm not talking about them enrolling in a program. I'm not talking about them signing up. I'm not talking about baptizing them. I'm talking about folks getting saved. And it's happening. You know, as a Christian, we look around and we say, oh, everything's so bad. But it's not so bad. People are still getting saved. People still can get saved. Amen. And they should be getting saved. And we have the gospel. The only reason people wouldn't be getting saved is because we're not telling them. Oh, I understand. Do you know that people have always been negative? Come on. If you've been soul winning very long, if you've been soul winning for, let's say you've been soul winning 20 years. I've soul winned for 20, over 20 years, 25 years, 26 years. I've had people cuss me out every year. That hadn't changed. Some of the words have changed. Hello. You know, people have been mad. People get upset. But guess what? People get converted too. People get saved. They're still getting saved. They're still getting saved. They're riding the bus. They're hearing the gospel. They're getting saved. They're getting saved on Wednesday nights. They're getting saved on Thursday nights. They're getting saved on Saturdays. They're getting saved on Friday nights at Reformers Unanimous. Are you listening? It's not a matter of them turning over a new leaf. It's a matter of God changing them and transforming them. Only God can do that. That's going to be happening. That is going to be happening when that end. Daniel said, what shall be the end of these things? He's just saying, okay, give us something. Let us know something. He said, hey, there's going to be conversions then. Do not get the idea it's just going to get so bad that nobody will ever get saved. I'm going to tell you again, the only thing keeping people from getting saved are dead churches and dead Christians. That's all. Look, the gospel is still the gospel. The seed is still perfect. Amen. People still have needs. People still want to be saved. It's just a matter of whether we're going to tell them or not. That's all. You say, well, I don't have a whole lot of action around me. That's because you're not doing anything. And if you will do something, if you'll get that gospel out, hand out tracts, invite people to Bible school, get involved in that, you'll see it. Yeah, boy, it's so quiet. You just added 5 minutes to the message. Somebody better start amening or we're going to be here all day. You know, just about every week we see people saved. I mean, boy, we can tell who wants to get out. Anyway, conversions. It's going to happen. Don't be so discouraged. Don't be so down. Don't be so afraid that, the end is near. Well, hallelujah, the end is near. People can get saved. What do you suppose we're going to do? We all going to get white sheets and go up on a hill and wait on him? Hello? That's what the Millerites did. Put white sheets on them and on their cows. And I don't know why they're... I can understand taking cows to heaven. But I don't know why you'd have to give the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, why you'd have to give him. I don't see cows going in the rapture. But anyway. I'm serious. A lot of Christians, I'm just waiting on him to come. Hey, get busy. But I'm getting away from myself here. Sometimes I need to do that. Number two is contention. Oh, let me tell you something. If there's anything that's going to be true when the end comes and before the end, there's going to be contention. Lots of it. I love the way it says this. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. It's all in the same sentence. Isn't that something? Purified, made white, tried. Converted, contention. It's just automatic. You bow at the altar and you get saved, and immediately it's almost like instead of 777 on the forehead, it's a bullseye. Boom. Amen. That's right. I'll never forget, we had a prison ministry down in college, and we went to this prison, and we started, that thing took off. It really did. And I'm not saying they got more prisoners. I'm saying more prisoners came to our meeting. And so I was praising the Lord. You never praise the Lord for more prisoners, right? It's kind of like a funeral director saying, "Boy, business is so good." Anyway, we had a whole big crowd coming, so we started showing films, and we'd show the burning hell. Boy, we saw a bunch of people get saved. We showed one. I cannot remember the name of it, but it was about persecution of Christians. I had no idea what it was. I thought, hey, this company, they're always putting out good soul-winning films. This one was about, if you stand for Jesus, you're going to have your head cut off. And they had a guy's head cut off, and back when you could, do that kind of stuff. And because it was fake looking. But they're going to take you away from your family. And then we gave an invitation to get saved. Needless to say, it wasn't real popular. We didn't have a whole lot of people saved at that one. The burning hell worked a whole lot better. But in reality, if we're going to be honest, that is how it is. That is the way. Look, when you get saved, I love the way it says they're purified, they're made white, and tried. Saved, tried. Converted, contention, battle, war, tribulation. Now, a lot of this is talking about the tribulation, and certainly there will be Christians there'll be people that get saved during the tribulation, and much of that is, but you know what? It's not just talking about that. We also are going to have tribulation. Not the tribulation, but we're going to have trials. We're going to have problems. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have times where we have to prove who we trust in. Again, God's the one that said, purified, made white, and tried. All in the same sentence. Folks that don't believe in that are watching too much charismatic TV. You can amen, it's okay. It's all right. Well, I don't want anybody to get mad. Yeah, I don't either. I just want to tell the truth. And I'm serious about this thing. This idea that, if you get saved, all your problems are over. That isn't true. You have one to help you with your problems. You have a comforter to comfort you. But your problems are, you are declaring war on the devil and his crowd, and he is not going to just sit by and let you do your thing. Unless you sit by and do your thing is nothing. whereas he loves that. But anyway, there's still lots of trials. You know, it's so interesting how we understand as far as the tribulation. You know, we understand, well, you know, during the tribulation, you know, I can imagine, boy, it's going to be tough. And if anybody gets saved, I mean, honestly, I've preached about this, literally. Somebody's going to get saved during the tribulation and immediately have their head cut off. That's how it's going to be, folks. I'm talking about in this world. That's how it's going to be. We give an invitation. That's why folks will say, well, you know, I would get saved, but during the tribulation, if it's like that, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. But you wouldn't walk an aisle in a church where people love you and care about you and are praying for you and a preacher that just preached the truth to you and all you have to do is come and somebody will tell you how to be saved, or there at your house, by your bed, or in your living room. You wouldn't trust Christ as Savior, but you're telling me during the tribulation you will? Hogwash. During the tribulation, when the guillotine is set up, you've already seen heads rolling. And you're going to trust Christ to have your head? No, you won't. If you won't do it now, you won't do it then. No way. There's no way. And we say, boy, it's going to be tough during tribulation, but God's people need to stand. Wait a minute. You need to stand during your trials. You need to keep going during your trials. I mean, purified and made white and tried. It's just automatic. It's part of it. It's part of it. Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Think it not strange. Yet we do. We do so often. We think it's so strange. We think it's strange. Why aren't things going better? Do you understand? The devil hates you. When the devil was allowed to get after Job, you see his hatred. As he takes everything. God said, hey, devil, you can do whatever you want. You got to let him live. And I mean, look what the devil did. That's what he wants to do to you. Do you understand? And there are times God says, okay, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. And it's like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Yeah, think it not strange. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Huh? All the way to the end, Christians are going to, there's going to be contention. There's going to be a battle between them and between us and the devil. Conversions, contention. Notice the third thing here, there's going to be lots and lots of corruption. Corruption. I love this verse. The wicked shall do wickedly. And again, we act shocked. Wicked shall do wickedly. We're talking about the wicked person in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. I love it. I love little kids. Little kids will write me notes and say, I asked Jesus to help me not to be wicked. W-I-K-D. You know, I love my little notes. I really do. And the wicked shall do wickedly. Dog shall act doggedly. Right? Which is terrible. Why are we so surprised? Why are we so surprised that every now and then somebody say, oh, you know, I just can't believe how bad things are. Why can't you believe it? Why can't we? Wicked shall do wickedly. Do you get the idea that winning souls to Christ, giving people the gospel, people getting saved, it takes them away from the wicked side and puts them on the righteous side? Okay, doing right takes you away from the wicked side and puts you on the righteous side. Why do I preach so hard about doing right? Because I'm trying to get some numbers over here so that there's not so much wickedness going on. We're trying, you know, and again, you have to understand, we cannot expect the wicked to do anything but wickedly. That's all they know. It's wickedness. That's why there's the abortion issue is such a major. We look at it and we're shocked. I mean, by the way, you're less shocked than you used to be. That's a shame. It's just as much murder today as it was 20 years ago when you really, you know, oh, boy, we're, yeah, yeah, that's right. But why would we, look, it's going to get worse. God said it would get worse. Wicked. Okay, in the end times, the wicked will continue to be wicked, and they're going to be even more wicked the less we say and do. That shouldn't shock us. Hello? I mean, what do we expect? What do we, you know, well, it's just unbelievable. The other day I saw two guys holding hands and kissing. Why are you so shocked? Sodomy is accepted in so many people's thinking. It's not accepted in God's thinking. But it's like, well, you can't say anything. Yeah, I know. And they're trying very hard to get legislation so that we can't. Yeah, and that's why. That's why immorality. Folks living together, it's no big deal anymore. I'm talking about among Christians. People talk about it, you don't say anything. It's like, well, yeah, you know. It's wicked, we'll do wickedly. By the way, wicked people are going to do those kind of things as long as they can. Do you know as long as they continue to push toward these odd family situations that are not like Adam and Eve had? Whether it's Eve's and Eve's or Adam's and Adam's. Or whether it's people living together instead of leaving, cleaving, and becoming one flesh as God said they were to do. Where people just decide to live like they live in a barnyard. You know, like the pigs do and the cows do and all the other animals. If as long as everybody just accepts that, they will just go on doing that because that's just wicked doing wickedly. And if Adam and Steve can get married and have children, which they can't, by the way, I'll explain it to you later if you need an explanation. But if they get all the benefits and everything else of, and they're treated just like any family, and people living together, they're treated like any family, why would people do what God says? That's just the natural way of wicked doing wickedly. And it's just going to get worse and worse. Corruption is going to get worse and worse. And people are going to murder because we don't have any respect for life. And as long as we can go inside a mother's womb and kill life, then it isn't going to be long. And they will set an age. Because that little tissue didn't stand a chance. That little embryonic tissue didn't stick. They were going to have a bad life anyway. Well, who's deciding that? Our committee. And this person doesn't have a good life. You know, I'm sick of hearing they don't have a good life. If God gave them life, all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, wait a minute. We have a whole room full of people we love very dearly who they would say they might not have a good life either. You see, how's this stuff happen? Because the wicked do wickedly. What's going to stop it? Well, there's only one Holy Spirit, and He dwells in us, as I preached the other night. And He, unfortunately, gets quenched by us, and He gets grieved by us, and therefore His effect is not as much as it used to be. And so what happens? What's happening in other countries is what happens. And elderly people are being, they're peacefully resting. You know, we used to say that about a dog when we put it to sleep. We said, put it to sleep. I remember when I was little and we put a dog to sleep. And I said, does that mean we're killing it? We're putting it to sleep. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Yeah, And one of these days, it's going to be you they're putting out of your misery. Because they're going to deny you something. Because pretty soon, it's all going to be controlled by one. Hello? I'm not telling you. You read it. You say, well, how's that happen? Corruption is part of the end. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And murder and all those things. You know, man, okay, and you know where it all starts? It all starts with our public schools and secular humanism, and we've been taught man is the measure of all things, and man is getting better and better. Man is not getting better. Man is waxing worse and worse and worse and worse. And we see it. And it's getting exciting. It really is. There is conversions. There will be conversions in the end. There will be contention for those who get converted. There will be corruption. But notice there will also be confusion. Lots of confusion. It says in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly. But look what else he says. And none of the wicked shall understand. Tons of confusion. My Bible says God is not the author of confusion. So where does confusion come from? Well, if it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? It comes right from the devil. None shall understand. Spiritual ignorance. Blind to the things of God. Blind to righteousness. Wait a minute. That's an American flag right there. We sing Star Spangled. We know Star Spangled Banner. Kids in our Christian school know the Star Spangled Banner. They know to stand and put their right hand over their heart when they sing the Star Spangled Banner. They know when the flag comes in that you stand and you put your right hand. They know the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. But the lost lawmakers, now I'm not saying all lawmakers are lost, I'm just saying those who are lost, they think we're a threat. They think because we hold patriotism to be true, they think that's a threat. Christian country? Yeah, this country was founded on Christian principles. It is what it is because of Christian principles. And we know that's true. And Christian principles loves everyone. Yeah, loves those that are doing things that we hate. We still love them. But we're the threat. You know why? Because of the confusion. So now we're the terrorists. Oh, because you have a gun? Don't raise your hand. Some would have to raise hand, 2 feet, other hand, stand, hold up signs for all the guns. But that's you're a threat. We don't kill anybody. We're not out to kill people. Our goal is not to kill people. Our goal is to see people saved. And you can't point a gun at them to get them saved. We know that. We preach that. We teach that. Never do we set up snipers for an invitation. Only at Vacation Bible School sometimes those kind of things happen, but there's a reason. They're not real snipers. But they look at us like we're a threat. Homeland Security, it's how they're going to get in. They're going to start watching. By the way, I have nothing to hide. Folks are afraid, you know, they're watching us. I don't care. Let them watch. But it'll be the day. And I don't know that I'll see it. I'm not predicting. But the day when every message, which now our messages are on the internet, and they will be scrutinized, they'll be looking for keywords, and this message would pop up. And I'm going to deny it. No, just kidding. Loyal, law-abiding citizens. And why is it? Because of confusion, that's why. Because they just don't understand. And you know, they also don't understand the signs. They just don't understand. We can show them, and we do, and I've done it, and you've done it, and you've talked to people at work, and you said, hey, you know, the Bible says, well, look, here's what God said was going to happen, and God said this, and it's like, oh, you Christian people, you just don't get it. Because if they understood the signs, they would look back to this last year and a half, and they'd say, wow. All they'd have to do is pick up a newspaper and they'd say, wow. But you see, there's confusion. The Bible says, and none of the wicked shall understand. And when you talk to wicked, they don't understand. They don't understand. Confusion. Number five, there's confidence, though, because the Bible says, but the wise shall understand. Confidence. In other words, they see what's happening in light of the Bible, and that gives confidence. And you need confidence to stand. You need confidence to come boldly to the throne of grace. And everything that happens, it doesn't have to happen in order for us to believe, but the fact that it does happen as God said, I like it. It makes me just a little more bold. But the Bible says that spiritual things the natural man can't understand, but we can. We do. And we read our paper in a different light of others reading their paper. And you know what, folks? Of all days and of all times, we better hold out the companion to the newspaper. You better get your commentary to the newspaper out called your King James Bible. You better get out your commentary to the newscaster called your King James Bible. If you're going to watch CNN, you better get your Bible out to help you interpret what they just said. If you're going to watch Fox News or any of the news broadcasts, you better get your Bible out and look at it and compare with what they're saying. Because my Bible says, in the end times, we can understand. We can see exactly what's going on. And we can be confident. I'm so tired of Christians weenying out.
Well, I feel like I'm outnumbered.
We are more than conquerors. We're right in this thing. Do you understand? We're the ones that are right in this thing. You know, don't you feel a little outnumbered? I'm not outnumbered. I'm on his side. Confidence, because we're watching it and we do understand. Just look at piddly little Israel. I'm always amazed at little old Israel over there. They should have been wiped out. They should have been wiped out years ago. 2,000 years ago, they should have been wiped out. They always should be wiped out. They should have been wiped out in World War II. There they are. Always in the news. Little old Israel. There they are. Why? We can understand why. We understand why. Yeah. Yeah. I got to keep going. Number six. Another thing in the last days, and toward the end, there's going to be commandments. Oh, we do not like commandments, do we? We just don't like those commandments. But I want to show you some commandments here. Verse 9, he says this to Daniel. He said, go thy way, Daniel. Verse 13, notice what he says. He says, but go thy way till the end be. Isn't that good? God's still telling him what to do. And you know, to me it's more important than ever that we obey God. Especially as we think about the end. Now, I'm not predicting anything. It could be 1,000 years from now. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying this. But in those kinds of days, that it seems to me like it's more important that we obey than it's ever been. That we would obey God. And here's what he says. He says, go thy way, in verse 13. Go thy way till the end be. His commandment is to go. Don't sit around dwelling on the signs. Get busy. Do something. Get busy, servant. And that's what we need to be doing. That's what he told Daniel. Daniel's an old man here. Hey, Daniel, go thy way till the end be. Go. Get busy. Get busy. Hey, there's going to be conversions. Why aren't you getting some? Why aren't you telling people? Well, they got mad, slammed the door. But the next house, they would have got saved. The next house, those people are going through a trial. Those people would have listened. Those people asked God that morning to send somebody by. But you got discouraged because somebody hurt your feelings because they slammed a door in your face. And it was that next house. Go, go, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. I like what he says. Go thy way, your job, your calling, only for you to do, go thy way. You have a way to go. Now go thy way. Well, I'm busy studying the signs. Jesus said a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. They should slap you upside the head instead of you looking all over the place for them. Hello? Oh, that gets us so mad. No, listen to me. The thing you and I can do is get busy doing what God wants us to do. I thought about getting on, you know, now with the internet, good night. I mean, you could look up so many, but there's so much junk out there. You know, well, signs of the times. Don't put it in your computer because you will get inundated with junk. Hello? You will. I'm serious. Oh, but this is all so good. I know. Get busy doing something. Quit being a sponge. Give out instead of taking in. That's what he says to Daniel. Go thy way till the end. Keep going till the end. Amen? Either till you die or till Jesus comes. Just keep going. I like what it says back in chapter 11, verse 32. And I remember going through the book of Daniel. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. Look what it says. And do exploits. Where are the exploiting Christians? Huh? Where are they? Where are the Christians who can do these great exploits? I'll tell you where they are. They're sitting around looking for signs instead of getting busy just doing what they already know God wants them to do. Amen. Go thy way till the end. And then, of course, there's going to be comfort. Comfort. And it says in verse 13, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. I love that. Thou shalt rest. So you work now, you're going to get to rest. Amen. I mean, that's a good thing because God gives comfort. Now, He gives us the comforter now. And so there's always comfort present. And there's always an opportunity for His comfort to comfort you. But someday, it's going to be rest. I mean, there's not going to be temptation. There's not going to be that old flesh and sin nature and that battle. There's going to be rest from all that. So get busy. We need to get busy. Think of heaven's rest. What a marvelous thought. What a wonderful thought. You know? But until that time, Daniel, don't think about it too much. Go your way. I got something for you to do. And the last thing I see that I think is something they're talking about in the end, there's going to be commitment. Commitment. He says in verse 13, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. And look what it says, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Commitment. At the end, stand in thy lot. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, and I'm just about done here. You are accountable for one thing. What's that? Your lot. That's what we're accountable for, our lot. If you're a dad, you have a pretty big lot you're accountable for. Wife, children, yeah, you have a pretty big lot to be accountable for. Okay? You're accountable for your... Do you understand? If we would just get out of everybody else's lot and just get busy in our lot, it'd be amazing what we could accomplish. We have so many lot spies, it's amazing to me. I'm watching their lot. Nobody ever told you to watch somebody else's lot. It's none of your business what goes on in their lot. It's none of your business what happens in their lot. It is your lot that you need to be accountable for. Well, I'm the lot sheriff. No, you're not. The closest thing to the lot sheriff is the pastor of the church who's the shepherd. The under-shepherd to the great shepherd. That's quit paying attention to everybody else's lot and get busy in your lot. It just is unbelievable. And then we have the lot inspectors committee meeting. That's called gossip. You know,
well, they, I inspected their lot, and I found this to be true, and, well, I saw this over at their lot, and, well, I know something's going on in their lot. And just get your lot. What about your lot? You understand how many weeds are growing in your lot while you're inspecting everybody else's lot? Hello? None of this is in the notes. I can't imagine where it all came from. But I'm accountable for my lot and the opportunities that God gives me. What have you done with your lot? You know, Daniel was kidnapped as a young man and taken captive to Babylon. He was taken away from his parents. He was taken away from his family. He was taken away from his church. He was taken out of his youth group. He was taken captive. He went to a place that was strange people, strange religion. Everything was different. Most of it was against what he believed. And he did right. You know why? Because that was his lot. We never see bitterness. We never see anger. We don't see him complaining. We just see him doing right in his lot. We don't see Daniel getting in other people's lot. We don't see him talking about other people's lots. We just see him in his lot. And he does right. And he serves God. You and I, we have a lot. And it's up to us to be committed enough to God to stand in our lot and do right in our lot. That's what we need to do. Whatever that lot is, that's what we're accountable for. Whatever God has given you. You say, yeah, but all I have is heartache. Then your lot is to give glory to God in heartache. You say, I don't like that. I understand. I would suppose Job would be one that would complain about that one, but he didn't. He didn't. Look, this is the answer to the question. How long till the end? Well, I'm not going to tell you how long because I'm not going to give you a date, but here's some things that are going to be happening. Ezekiel said, I'm looking for a man who will stand in the gap. Well, what's the gap? The gap was somebody's lot. Well, if nobody stands there, then what's going to happen? Then the flock's going to all be plundered by a lion, by a bear. Somebody has to stand in the gap. There's just one gap. It's where the door is. It's where the entrance is. Everything else is hedged around. The enemy can't get in. The wolf can't get in. But if somebody will just stand in that gap, that'll take care of everything. Ezekiel said, hey, for the nation, who's going to stand in the gap? Is that your lot? Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What are you going to account for? Your lot. I didn't have much. To whom much is given, much shall be required. To whom little is given, little is required. Yeah, it's just what you do with what you had. 10 talents? 5 talents? 2 talents? 1 talent? What are you going to do? It's your lot. Well, but I don't happen to like my... That's the first thing you have to do. You better make friends with your lot. Yeah, but there's things about my lot that are displeasing. But it's not about pleasing you and I. It's about pleasing him. And that might be your lot. Just, hey, God, I want to let everybody know I love you. And I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to please you. Amen. How long till the end? You getting tired? Had somebody tell me today, said, I'm getting tired. And as soon as they said that, I thought, yeah, I was just telling God that not too long ago. Whew, it is, isn't it? How long, God? You're not going to tell me, are you? No. But here's some things that are going to happen. People are going to get saved. Shouldn't I be telling them? Shouldn't I always have tracts and give them out? Talk to people, opportunity. My wife, one of her greatest soul-winning ministries is garage sales. Really? I mean, she gives the gospel out, talks to people, gets people saved. You know, whatever your lot. That is not my lot. I promise. But whatever your lot. Hey, shouldn't we get busy? Okay. Well, I'm just studying the end times. Okay, well, maybe study for a few minutes and get busy for God for the rest. Amen? If you're not giving out, but you're always taking in,
then eventually you're going to become like a sponge, soaking up water and just sloshy. Get busy. We need to get busy. We as a church need to be busy. When's the last time you prayed about abortion? Been a long time, hasn't it? When's the last time you prayed about sodomy? Been a long time, hasn't it? When's the last time you prayed about all the immorality going on around us? Huh? When's the last time? Look at all those teenagers and how they're acting. When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you went and talked to them, gave them a tract? See what I'm saying? You know, those are things we can do. That's our lot. Let's pray.